Oh, we do have to count it. In 5, 4, 3. Hey guys, it's Nick Campbell here. And with me as always is my best friend,
David Steele.
And we are Rhythm and Wit. All right, cool, man. That felt good. I felt real Nickelodeon. All right. With us today is Chandler Watson, the comedian, artist, and provocateur.
Welcome, Chandler.
How we doing, bud?
I'm doing pretty good. Right. I can't complain.
Hell yeah.
I could use more sleep, but
Yeah.
Right. Sleeping when we're dead.
Seriously.
Yeah. We got stuff to do. Speaking of stuff to do, where you been, man? What you been up to?
Oh shit. Where do you want me to start?
Okay. So comedian, but also an artist. But then I mean, just letting everybody know a little bit of what I know, and then you can kind of fill in the gaps. But I one of my favorite things about you, I'm gonna go ahead and butter your bread a little bit. Is that you're a truth teller? Loaves, not money. But no, you're a truth teller, man. That's what I appreciate about you on stage. Is like you don't hold back what you say, and even when you do say something and you don't really like, or you find out later, you will come back and be like, "Hey, that was my bad." You know what I'm saying? I really appreciate that about you. And you go out into the world, and it seems like you try to find things to bring back to us, right? So you just came back from Burning Man.
Yes.
What did you bring us?
All right, so I brought this new type of monkeypox. Let me tell you.
Shit, we getting the monkeypox? Hell yeah, dude.
Man, so let's just say somebody gets that clip and splices that. That's going to be wild. Oh, yeah. But, dude, it's just so what I gathered this trip, because each time, it always seems to be on a Thursday, because last year I went Thursday night, this year Thursday night. Just something about that, I just have this massive epiphany in Burning Man when I'm riding the bike by myself and I'm like, oh fuck, dude.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and it was just this actual knowing, not a belief, but a knowing, is like, oh, I am far more capable than what I thought I was.
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay. What put you in that position? What made you feel that way?
Just because I did shit I'd never done before. And like applying myself to it, I was like, oh, I could do this. Oh, I could do this. Oh, it's like almost anything that I want to do, if I set the time to it, I will fucking do it. I feel almost anybody has that. But it's like, no, just like some crazy art shit that I saw. I'm like, oh, I could do this.
Nice.
It's like, I just need the time. I say it like just very egotistical, and then I find out the logistics behind it. I'm like, fuck. But it's like, no, I can.
Yeah,
like all these things that I dreamt of are like very, it's like it's right there. It's just like this very thin film, and I'm just poking through it. Yeah, and it's just like, okay.
Well, what do you? So you're saying that you found in yourself like maybe more grit, or found like, oh, I can do that, but it only takes time. You keep saying that part.
More grit, like no, it's like a bit of more grit too.
A bit more grit.
Yeah, yeah. It's like spending time at Reno. It kind of brings a different side of you out.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I knew I had this side. Just like when you're like in a, it's almost like you got to be at a hyper vigilant state at all times, because that's how it was when I was in certain parts of LA. And so it just being in Reno, I had to be that way, because those like some of the dudes there, they would look at you like, I'm like, oh, are you trying to kill me? Or are you just saying hello?
Ooh. Okay. Yeah.
And I'm like, well, it's not going to be easy.
Yeah, was that the monkeypox?
So I was just like, but it was just so that, like, carrying that into going into Burning Man, it was just odd, because I don't know how many other people experienced that situation in Reno. Because in Burning Man, and then everybody just saw woo woo love, and I still was walking around with like this edge of like, oh, I'll fuck you up. And I'm like, and I need to let, I needed to let it go.
Was it psychedelic induced, or were you, this was just you walking around?
This was just me walking around. Okay. Because it's like you go from, it's like a complete change of environment, like complete change. I love Reno. It's depending where you're at, it's a peaceful and dangerous place all at once. So, yeah, I found space by the river, the Truckee River. It felt like very zen. And then I walk a few spots and I'm like, these motherfuckers are gonna try to jump me or something like that. And it's not, it was just, but they're just over there doing meth, minding their own business. But it's still, yeah. But no, there's still a different type of energy because it's a casino town in like 24 hours. So you got the frat bros getting drunk and yelling shit. So it's like, at any given point, it's like, just like some drunk fuck could walk out and be like, it's not your night. And then in reality, it's like, no drunk guy, I'm ready for this.
Yeah.
So
it's what it seems like. It's just chaotic or chaos, you know, in a way. It's just anything could happen at any time.
But
interesting.
But what did I bring back from Burning Man is just, I would actually have to show you more so than tell you about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a kind of knowing in yourself and then in like studying how people build shit out there, because everybody builds everything by it. It's like, it's a team collaboration. We're all like Amish out there.
Oh yeah.
So it's like,
so what is Burning Man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I call it as like, you're building a city in the desert. Some people call it a festival, but no, it's a city in the fucking desert.
More of a community effort or something.
Yeah. And like each neighborhood kind of has, it's like, so it's set up like a clock from 2 to 10 in the middle. So like this actually. So actually this is so this would be the man, and then over here would be kind of the start of the city of like where all the neighborhoods are, and it stretches like that, and then it comes back here, and then out here is like maybe from here to here, maybe like a total of 6 miles, 2 miles to there. And that's like called the trash fence. That's the furthest you can go unless you climb over the fence. I did that last year. And I went like a half a mile out or a mile and a half out into the desert. And then then it started to rain a little bit. It was rather peaceful, though.
Yeah.
I had to get away from people.
Mm-hmm.
But so in here is all the neighborhoods, the camps where you sleep. Yeah. There's food. You could find anything you can find in like out here, you can find there. It's like, oh, you wanted steak? Oh, they got steak over here.
Interesting.
You want a coffee? Cool. Oh, just walk down, get on your bike, go get some coffee, had Thai tea. Dude, they had so much shit. It's like they had steam rooms, saunas, gyms. What? Yeah, and it's all out there in the middle of the fucking desert. What else? Like, I didn't see the beignet tent. I was looking for them.
Yeah.
Shit, and then we had our comedy club, and it was like right here off like 730G, built that shit, and it was massive this year as a comparison to last year. Last year was like kind of like some, it looked like somebody's backyard in the desert with a stage.
Oh,
this
yeah.
year we had circus tents built. It was red carpet. Whoa. Wall. It was fucking massive. I'll have to show you the photos.
Yeah.
And then like,
so they build all this.
Mm-hmm.
It just when it happens.
Yeah. It took us about 1, 2, 3, 4 days to build the comedy club and get the camp set up proper. But we got there. So I was out in the desert for like 12 days.
Mm-hmm.
The festival's, oh, it's not a festival. Burning Man is 5 days. So if you get a build pass, you get out there earlier so you can build the shit. Some people are out there for like 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, I could probably do a month, 4 months. People are going to start going missing.
Yeah.
I'm just
4 months in the desert.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm not, I don't think I would do that, but I would go missing because there's, I'm not going to say it on this, but I know something that's, what is it, geologically out there that I was, I'm like, oh, I would go out there and then nobody would see me for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You might get lost a little bit.
It's easy to do.
Yeah.
What is it? Especially when the dust storms kick up. It's like I'm really good with cardinal directions.
Mm-hmm.
Really fucking good. Unless I'm like in a bowl city where you can't, the sun just kind of comes over and you're like,
yeah, it's good.
Some of those cities really kind of fuck me up a little bit. But once I get it, I'm pretty good.
Yeah,
but I've only been lost once, and that was in Northern California.
kind of in the mountain area.
Yeah, so. Like thick ass redwoods and shit. Mm-hmm. We went on this hike. I was like, we good. We just gonna connect this trail. And then I forgot to bring my headlamp. I always carry a headlamp, and I'm like, we be good. Yeah. We were almost not good.
Dude, I almost died in what was that place called, man? New Mexico.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
What happened?
We went, y'all were in the hot springs or whatever.
Well, I went and visited a friend of mine. She went to school in Albuquerque, and it was me and my girl at the time, and we went up, and so they were big camping, you know, all natural. Nobody wore deodorant. It was pretty bad.
But okay, sounds like something I could be into.
Yeah, yeah. But we go out, And the owner thing didn't bother me until after. But we went up there and we hike. It's hot, you know. We go up, we get in this hot spring. Mm-hmm. And we just chill there all night. We got bottles of alcohol.
Wait, it's hot passing. Outside, and you went into a hot spring?
In the evening we went. Yeah, okay. In the evening we went in the hot spring, and it was a little cooler, right? Mm-hmm. So we get in, we're hanging out, we're passing around bottles of rum and stuff, and we're just kicking it. It was a good time, dude. And then 10 other people show up, and they all sit down, and it's dark, so you really can't see. And then my girl's like sitting in front of me and a few of our friends and these people get in and it's and we're just talking and chatting and all this stuff. And then my girl goes, "Hey, they're not wearing clothes." I was like, "What?" And I look at the guy next to me, look little Jerry Garcia looking guy and a big pot belly, you know, yeah. And then I look and he's got a little pecker. And you can, and I was like, oh, and he's next to me. We've been talking like friends, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I was like, what's up, buddy? High fiving and stuff. I elbowed this guy a couple times, you know? And I was just like, oh, hey, oh.
Well, it's natural that you wouldn't look down.
Yeah, right? I don't look down on nobody. But we're standing here. And then I realized like, oh, the girl in front of us, because everybody was like, you know, this much down. And mm-hmm. It's kind of like, you know, the water's coming in. So it's kind of bubbly. So it's not like you can really see anything. But then I recognize that this is happening, and then I recognize that oh, they're like touching each other while they're talking to us. Anyways, it was super weird. Yeah. I was like,
oh, well, so they were fucking.
They weren't doing that yet. They ended up leaving, but okay. Yeah, you know.
But right next to you, so their juices were like on you guys.
Yeah, yeah. It was. Oh. It was. Now that you say that, yes.
Monkeypox.
Monkeypox. No, that's how we got it. That's how we got it. Dude, somebody got some monkey. You know what I'm saying? But we were in there, and so they go, "Hey guys, we're gonna get out of here. You guys should be careful when you leave." And I was just like, all right. And they're like, yeah, we'll see you. And so they all get up. And then that's when I was like, okay, you can tell who the big guy in the group is, you know, like, and everybody just left. And Jerry Garcia just gave us a few, you know, mushrooms and a joint and left.
Right on, Jerry.
He was a solid individual, man. And then he left. And then we're just hanging out. I was like, why did he say be careful? So like a couple hours pass by, we decide to get out. And I go to my pants and I lift them up and they're like cardboard. It had gotten so cold that everything froze. And we're miles away from our stuff, you know. I just thought we're just gonna put on clothes, you know. And I get out and I'm standing around waving my pants around, like, look at this, it's funny, right, guys?
Yeah.
And then my hair starts to freeze immediately
because
it's so cold.
And you're wet,
yeah, dude. And we're all now we're scared, you know. We're like, what happens? Can we just stay in the water? I was like, I don't know. This girl threw up in the water. I really don't want to be in the water. So now we get up, we go, and we leave everything. We do all that, and I put on what clothes I could. I put my cold clothes on. We grab like we had some. We ended up all huddling around each other behind this rock, and just it was the coldest I've ever been in my life. And I think we were probably
how long did y'all stay there?
We were there all night. We just stayed there all night behind. We huddled up.
You didn't want to risk walking?
No, man, because was I broke my hair off like when we were walking up to the place we were sleeping.
Y'all would have failed one by one.
Yeah,
and then also,
and it was a down slope. You know, so I wasn't sure how the wetness was going to handle.
Y'all should have stayed in that water.
That's what I thought after that.
Yeah, because like when you said you waved your pants, I would have put my pants in the water. I would have put my pants on in the water and I would have just stayed in that because at least, you know, that's warm.
Yeah, you're right.
And like you won't get hypothermia. It's like, yeah, you'll be pruny as fuck.
Yeah.
But damn, hindsight, bro. At least y'all survived.
We did.
And you got those good cold shock there. Like, hold
on. We're over there shivering. And my girl, we're all like, all of us are stacked like close. We're on top of each other. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, I wish they brought pee? Some deodorant. God, dude. And so we're leaving. We make it. We survive the night. All fingers and toes intact. And we leave, we go, and she's got a Jeep, the girl that we know we're riding with. It's a Jeep. So it's me, my girl, and the hippie girl that didn't, you know, didn't do anything. And then she also didn't bathe for like 2 weeks before this. So like, well, you don't know at the time, you know. So we're driving, and nothing against it. I don't have all natural is fine. Mm-hmm. But we're driving, but I'm like, man, I'm going to throw up, dude. Yeah, it's like, I'm going to throw up, like, because I thought, it was the alcohol and everything. And then I go, hey, you got to pull over. So we pull over. I get out. I go to the bathroom. I was like, oh, no, I'm fine. And I get back in the car. I was like, oh, no, it's her. Like, that's what's making me want to throw up. And I was just like, can we?
You said that's fine.
I was like, no, I said, can we put the top down? I was like, can we?
That's what you said. All natural is fine. No, it's making you puke, bro. That's not fine.
That's not natural. All natural is a 3 or 4 days, right? Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? But this was 2 weeks, and you threw up in the pool. You know what I'm saying? In the hot tub. Anyways,
what kind of hippie is she puking in a hot tub? Fucking phony. Or not the, in the hot spring, I mean.
Yeah. Get up, get out, go over there. Yeah,
seriously.
It was an interesting night, and I do count that as one of my survival moments.
Yeah. I would agree. Next time, sure. Stand in fucking water.
Yeah, dude. We were at the Rock.
And how when was that? If was somebody like would have said something like that.
2006.
Yeah, that was a long time.
If I would have heard somebody say, "Be careful when you guys leave," I'm like, "Yo, further explain."
Yeah, because like, he was like, because they had all their stuff off to the side. I was like, "Why'd they put their shit way over there?" Yeah. You know, I was like, "Oh, this one."
Steam and moisture doesn't. Yeah,
that's what ended up happening to my stuff.
Yeah, man. I'm sorry, but I'm glad you're here.
Hey, man, building that grit.
It's important. it's fucking needed.
So the at Burning Man, so why, what draws you to Burning Man? What do you find that it builds in you?
Okay, so this year I just learned a whole new set of skills, bro. Like I drove a 2014 2500 Dodge Ram with the turbo diesel.
Oh, okay.
Oh, dude, it was so nice. And I was hauling this 29-foot trailer RV behind me. I've never done that before. So we get there, like, Chandler, you're driving that, and I'm like, what? So my boy Danny, he took me out and he showed me some tricks on how to drive it. But first, we pulled into two of the worst spots you could pull somebody learning, like teaching. One was it just kind of ramped up, so the hitch kind of like got stuck. Yeah. And he's like, bro, there's nothing you could do about that. He's like, this isn't on you. So we just like, good thing that truck is powerful enough to just pull it out. And the next one was a gas station that was like where both traffic was going the opposite direction. It was a shit show, but somehow he backed it out. But beyond that, I got a hang of it. And then I ended up driving it from, so I drove it out to Burning Man, back from Burning Man, then from Reno to Los Angeles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was dope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was dope. So I learned that I was capable of doing that, and I like doing that. And it put perspective on how I want to travel with my comedy career.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because RV, I love being on the road by myself. Mm-hmm. It's like,
thoughts and whatever. Yeah.
That was like some of the most fun I had whenever I was like touring, doing comedy, like putting together my own little tours. Mm-hmm. It was like, I would just be driving and just seeing a new environment. Mm-hmm. I'd be thinking of jokes on the spot and like old jokes that I'd be, because it's like I could either listen to a podcast or I could talk to myself in my head and figure out my next set.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it was like doing that shit was, man, I got so much better so fast by just being able to travel and do comedy and be on the road.
Yeah. A lot of times if you don't have that, you know, you don't have that time. If you're just working your job or whatever, you don't ever have time for with yourself even, because we're always so busy.
And then it's like the experiencing of the new, it sparks your creativity. Right. So it's like naturally everything's going to enhance.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I get out of Burning Man.
Mm-hmm. New experiences.
Right. How does that influence your art?
Let's see. Storytelling kind of improves.
Because I want to
like, it's like, because I'll talk to people from all over the world and I'll hear how they use language and I'm like, interesting. I could probably spend time in your culture so I could tell a better story. But like, because like here in America, we use English a very distinct way and other people are so creative with it. It says it. They say the same thing, but I'm like, yo, you made that sound so much better.
We're fucking up this language.
Right?
It's like just being exposed to that is you take it in even if you don't really think about it. Yeah.
Like what is it? There's this example. It's this Nigerian, he's a rapper. And he was in college and he's like, he told his parents, he's like, I'm gonna be a rapper. And his mom said some shit, oh, why has God forsaken me? And I'm like, it's like, his name is Toby Ngwe. I can't say it, but it's just like hearing him say it, I'm like, yeah, I've heard people talk like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, what the fuck? And it's like, it's just cool because it's like, English isn't their first language. So how they decide to use it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's fucking amazing to me, and I'm
like, what was that line again?
Oh, why has God forsaken me? Yeah, it was funny. Like, I be thinking about that sometimes whenever shit happens. I'm like, Chandler's not that bad.
My parents have said that a couple times. You know what
I'm saying? Yeah,
it sounds
way
different.
Yeah.
It says, this motherfucker. That's
yeah, for real. Oh. I do love the vulgarity here, though.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, whenever people do cuss, it brings me joy. I'm like, okay, I can feel like a sense of comfort around you.
Yeah.
It's like, even if I'm at like a business play, like I've cussed in front of like, and I'm like, oh no, we're good. And it was one of the situations because, how was it? This dude is a lawyer at a firm. What is it? Is it called a partner when you're like, my name is, or is that the associate? It was him. And I was like, we're kind of having a conversation. I'm like, he's like, I could have just been telling you guys anything and you guys would take it as fact. I'm like, oh yeah, I want to go over there thinking that I can do this in this country and now I'm fucked. Yeah. And he was like, and we had a good laugh. So it was like, now I know I can have a drink with you as this lawyer and I could also do business with you because we understand how we communicate. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if people have vulgarities in there, I'm like, I can definitely if anybody's just clean all the time, I really gotta like see why they're clean. Oh, I know that sounds very suspicious
of
me.
What
are
you hiding, dude?
Yeah, yeah, it's like I'm more apt to believe it from actually not anymore. Yeah, it just depends. I'll ask like, where are you from, and then I'll pull all the knowledge I know from that location. I'm like, okay, this tracks. But if it doesn't, I'm like, the fuck you been through, and what you hiding?
Yeah.
So just.
Well, yeah. I grew up in construction. So, I mean, if you didn't cuss, then we didn't. Yeah, like it's a trust thing. Like,
yeah.
If you're a construction worker who doesn't cuss, then whose nose do you have your ass in? That's what it feels like.
Oh, man. Know? What if they're mute?
Yeah. Well, then that's a disability.
Yeah. And,
they just always don't.
Yeah. We had a deaf guy on the job, he was a bricklayer. And every day at lunch, he would do push-ups and sit-ups, and he was like, he was quiet.
Was he jacked?
He was jacked. Yeah, dude.
Oh,
he,
I need to do that right now.
He carried four cinder blocks, the 8-inch ones at the same time. Like, it was nothing. It was just like, it was nuts. But he would push-ups, sit-ups, and then he would go back to work, lifting block all day.
Oh, so his whole day was getting paid to work out.
Yeah, that's how he saw it, you know, but he couldn't hear you or anything. And I remember one time, he got really mad because, I mean, your block layers, you're up on like scaffolding, you know, and then they use the giant lift, the forks to like drop stuff. But the guy, when he pulled the scaffolding back, I was up there. I almost shit.
Yeah.
But he made this noise like, oh, yeah, dude. And we were like, oh. It's like, you know, it's bad when he's scared, you know, like, yeah, man. And so we, dude, I'm telling you. He was yelling at the guy, you know. Like, he was like, like, and we were all doing it because you know, it was scary shit, dude. But that whole thing went.
Oh no!
Yeah, dude. So they're like, well, let's tie it to the wall now, since we built the wall. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've done that 30 feet up on one of those, and you're just like, well, I used to help the block layers. I would like because if you helped them, then they wouldn't. If you could, you either bought them a case of beer. And they wouldn't cover you up. That was because what they would do is they would say, hey, your pipe here, because we have to add a pipe, and then they put block on top of it. And then, as we go up, we add more pipe, right? Mm-hmm. But if they didn't like you, they'd be like, oh, he's not here.
Yeah.
And then they would build it
and
past
you.
So what I would do is I didn't have a lot of money, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, well, I'll help y'all shake mud and I'll bring you block. You know, and then I would bring them block and stuff and shake mud. And then they were like, look at this motherfucker. He's helping, you know. Yeah. And then, you know, then you would get a free burrito at lunch because they were cool. You know, yeah, dude. It's a community, dude. Yeah. It's an organism. Kind of like you're saying, like everybody does their part or you get shunned.
You get that trust too.
And you better cuss while you're at it.
Yeah.
100%.
About that, you know, just speaking the same language in that way builds that trust. You know, it's like.
Well, you're saving their shoulders, you know, like every block that they lift, they all know it. They're eventually going to have shoulder surgery and wrist surgery.
That shit starts changing.
Yeah.
It's like, I got to switch to a different type of, what is it, trade?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That would suck, especially if you really love doing brick.
Mm-hmm. Most of the time they move into management, but otherwise you know, they try to get you. That's the thing about construction that I kind of miss, that you don't see in like other places, is we take care of each other a little bit. You know, like if I sprain my wrist, then, you know, my apprentice would start doing more stuff, and then we kind of work, and then we trade if he gets hurt, or, you know.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. And then that's what I like about
brothers
that.
In arms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude. Because you're there.
Yeah. It's kind of like being there.
You're literally in the trenches.
If you're in a war, you are.
Speaking of war, I've not been in one. There's no wood to knock on, but, you know, we pay attention to the world. I have a friend, he was in the Navy, and he was a Navy medic. I'm not going to tell too much of this story because it's not for me to tell too much of, but they got stationed with some Navy SEALs, and at the time they was going into Afghanistan before anybody could be there. This is his story, not mine. And the other medic in the group was a bitch. So he always had to go out with the SEALs. And imagine that. Like, you're a medic and you're supposed to help these people, but you're too much of a bitch to do your fucking job. And everybody knows that. So this other man has to do double and triple and quadruple the work.
Yeah.
So it's like, you say, like, you're in the trenches, it's like, even I've heard comedians say, you can't be on the road with a bitch. And, like, I kind of figured that out traveling. I'm like, who would I actually want to travel with? One friend, he's now a kickboxer. And he's undefeated. But I'm like, I could travel with you.
Yeah.
Because it's like, we see life the same. We all have a good time. And we're both willing to check each other if we get out of line. Mm-hmm. And that's if somebody tries to, like, step in from the outside, we're both going to check them.
Yeah.
So it's like, I tried with a few, like, two here. I'm like, I don't think I'm going to travel with y'all.
Yeah,
it's like, that's one thing about, like, again, learning that I could drive and haul that. I'm like, if I take another comedian, I'm like, okay, when I'm available to, or able to, I'm like, okay, you can just fly there and meet me there.
Yeah.
But they got to be really fucking cool. And sometimes I'm like, yeah, shut the fuck up. I'm not going to be rude. I'm not going to, but it's like, I let it be known as, like, sometimes I need silence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to be, like, all over. Because even before I drove back from Reno to L.A., there was another lady that was with the camp in Burning Man. She's like, can I ride back with you? I'm like, I looked at her. I'm like, I really wanted to be alone.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
And I just let her know. Yeah. It's like, this is how I feel. Yeah. Now, if you absolutely need to, then yeah. But if not, these next, like, 12 to 14 hours, depending how slow I want to drive, are on me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it's, like, that's how I see it with kind of, like, touring, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, so, yeah, there's some people I would travel with, depending what kind of tour I put together, because I actually even want to go overseas, and I'm, like, I remember reaching out to one comedian, and I'm, like, ooh, I'm glad that never went through, because that would have not been cool.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I kind of think of it like this in construction, and I think we're kind of built this way. Back in the day when we were cavemen, you were around a fire, you went hunting. If somebody was a bitch, they didn't make it back.
Right.
You remember what I said earlier about if I was out there for 4 months, people start missing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can't hang. That's what it is. And it's the same thing in construction, except you can't kill them. You just get them fired. You know.
Gotcha.
But the same thing out there.
Oh, there's a brick. Oh, yeah.
It's like only the strong survive, or though, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like,
or so, and if you and if that is not your cup of tea to be like that type of survival, you better figure out, like, you know, something else.
Go gather some berries.
Figure out so you better make, like, you better have that fire on point. You better devise a new way to cook this shit. Nigga, make an oven.
Everybody's got a strength.
Yeah. You know? And it's
yeah.
I mean, it's just like, you got to find your place in the world, you know, in any situation, whoever you are. It's like, everybody's got something that they're good at.
100%.
And I think the problem comes whenever they try to do something you want, you know, that you're not fit for or whatever. I mean, you got to know your role, I guess.
Yeah. As The Rock would say. Well, I want to talk to you about we kind of talked about Burning Man.
Mm-hmm.
We went over what you brought back, which was an understanding of self mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. capability.
Yeah. And with that, it not only benefits me.
Yeah.
It benefits everybody around yeah. me.
You built your skills.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's something that it's funny, trusting yourself. Mm-hmm. Like trusting yourself in situations because you're familiar with, I think that goes with comedy too. You know, when you get mm-hmm. up there and you trust yourself, you tell yourself, like, we've been here before. Mm-hmm. We know what we're doing. I do want to ask you what your philosophy on comedy and what you, before you go up, what you're thinking.
Okay. So that varies and it depends on the venue. Mm-hmm. And if it's so on a show, depends on the type of show, man. Mm-hmm. So you got to, what's my philosophy before I go up
mm-hmm. and just in
what
general,
I'm thinking?
What are you bringing to the table in comedy?
Okay. So time out. I need more specifics so I can answer this question.
Okay, no, okay. I got one because that last time I saw you perform was at Mycelium Gallery, that mm-hmm. show at the art gallery. I don't know if that, like, what about that show? Like, what was it? Anything particular that comes to mind that you know, what were you thinking before you go up?
Okay, so usually I sit back. Every venue for a show, I get there early enough. I check out the whole mm-hmm. venue, even out back. Mm-hmm. Walk around. I get a vibe, and if I have enough time, I walk the block. I walk the neighborhood, so I can really like get a vibe of the place. It's like mm-hmm. I do this almost everywhere I go mm-hmm. if I have the time to. Even that. Like even L.A., San Francisco is like I walk mm-hmm. the block, and I was like, and vibes. I see the very so I could get the local mm-hmm. local joke,
right? Yeah,
versus like somebody who lives over there is like, I see that all the time. Yeah. And there's like some shit like that. That was fucked up of me to say that. But you know what I mean? It's just shit like that. I walk the block and then I sit down. I say, I try to introduce myself to the bartenders because that's usually who I'm going to fuck with most of the time. Even if I'm sitting in the back and somebody's doing terrible, I'll be talking to them. But that's after my set. Mm-hmm. Before my set, I sit there, I draw, and I just observe the room. That's it. I observe the room and I try to listen to all the comics mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and see who is actually present and who is just going through material.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm like being very analytical at the time mm-hmm. to be like, oh, they could have made that better. If they would have paused longer here, this can do this. And like, oh, they got room to play with that joke right there. They could have mm-hmm. like really stuck with it. And then as I get ready to go up, I don't know. I think I stand up and I stretch a bit because it was like, you know, being stiff from sitting so long, just like, mm-hmm. and then I just be, just be in the moment,
just
bro.
Be. Yeah. I like that. that's what I like about you. You're very authentically yourself.
Right.
You know, it comes through in your art and in your comedy, you know, unapologetic too.
Word.
Yeah. And that's, I think
something
that's important.
I've always noticed since the first time I ever saw you. I remember, I think the first time I'd seen you was probably at Fairweather Friends open mic back in the day.
I like that place. I like that a lot.
It must have been that one because I used to go up there every week, but. I used to always think that you would just get up there and you were just a storyteller and you would just talk about your experience. And it's like, I was thinking back then, I was like, I don't think this guy has material. I think he just talks, you know, and, which is awesome because that's so hard to do. And it's entertaining, you know, it's not like it's like, I always think it's like, does he write bits? I don't know. And that's a question I can ask. It's like, do you spend any time writing material or certain bits that you like to go back to?
Not as much as I mm-hmm. should,
yeah.
but I do. If it's a particular idea, I write it down,
right.
and then I'll work it in every mm-hmm. once in a while. But I know they're funny.
Yeah,
it just I gotta really feel like telling them.
Yeah,
to really give it the proper do. That's
like if it feels right.
Because it's like whenever I decide to do an actual joke, it involves me doing an act out and shit, mm-hmm. and I'm like. Yeah, I like to sit.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm probably like kind of fucking myself by not doing it. Mm-hmm. But so it's like expect like actually really executing it how I see it. Mm-hmm. I've done it a few times. I'm like, I knew that shit would work.
Yeah.
And then some things I write down, I'm like, oh, that's really fucking good.
Yeah.
But mostly it's like I witness so much mm-hmm. that it's like, I gotta talk about this.
It's gotta come out.
I think that's the best thing, honestly. It's like, I love whenever people just talk about, Because, I mean, we talk about this a lot, but it's like people that I think after a certain amount of time doing comedy, you get comfortable where you can just talk about things in the room and, and that's your whole set. I mean, people do that
and
often.
Well, you did have that bit where you're talking about learning how to use guns and and going hunting.
See, now that's one of those experiences that I've turned it like it's a story, but it's also so many jokes built inside because oh my goodness,
whenever you get excited about like ooh, I see why
oh my goodness that could be a whole ass, like honestly it could be a show, just I don't know, just how I see that is like how I'm visualizing it in my head. I'm like, oh, it's hilarious. I can tell you how it went down right now if you want, but it will never not be funny to me. Even because I don't know. You've been hunting? Have you been hunting?
I haven't been hunting, but I've shot a gun.
I've never even shot a gun. Not a real gun, anyway. It's like outside of like BB guns or whatever.
Word. I used to shoot BB guns. And then I remember the first time I shot a real gun, it wasn't that exciting. And this is how kind of it goes. So here's the thing about writing jokes and my experiences and putting them together, and then I'll get back to that. Guns. Hunting. So, my father, sorry about that. See you tomorrow for brunch. Okay. So the way I would like to present the whole thing, it's like, it's going to have to be a few different shows to me to get the point across with comedy. So this one's going to be mostly ha-has. It's just storytelling. And then there's going to be a one-man show. But with guns, the one-man show is going to be wild. I've seen so many people do them, and like I've seen some with my own eyes. Women, actually. And theirs was really good and well-executed. And I asked one. Her name's Jill Chrissy, hilarious comedian out in L.A. Originally from somewhere else. I think Florida. But anywho, I asked her about it, and she's like, yeah, you just do it because you're going to regret not doing it. But yeah, I say that to go back to this with the guns and hunting. It's like a 10-year span of life experiences with guns to where I am now. And then how I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah. But it's just, yeah. I'm sorry, I'm like reminiscing. I'm like up in the tree right now.
Is it the same feeling you get when like you're fishing, you catch a fish, you're like, are we gonna eat this?
I haven't got a deer yet, so I don't know yet. And like I was thinking about this a couple of days ago, because it's like, let's say I hit it in his bread basket, it usually drops like right through the lungs, it drops, and then if I walk up on it and it's like looking me in my eye and blinks, I'm like, well, fuck. You know, it's like people say it's a spiritual moment. I'm going to see who I actually am when I get to that point. That's why the last one I tried to shoot, I aimed straight for the neck, which is it's a clean shot if you get the shot and it drops and you have a lot of meat. That's what I was thinking, more meat. And I completely missed.
That's a tough target.
Yeah. And I've only been hunting for a little bit, like 2 years, and it was just. Now, if it was a rifle I used last year, I probably would have got it. No, I wouldn't have. Let me not say that.
Yeah. So how often do you go, like once or twice a year?
Year I'm gonna go as much as possible because I would like to have my own meat. I got a freezer in my place. I got like 3 freezers I could use. One at the art house, and I'm probably gonna get another one in there just so I could have as much meat. Give my parents some meat. Give folks I know meat. It's probably a little bit too late for me to learn how to bow hunt. Because then you can get like 6 deer versus like 2.
That'll feed you for the year, though. 2 deer?
100%. Yeah. 100% it would. And then what happens if, you know, a third deer just happens to jump in the truck?
I'm not getting there.
But no, there's some places like actually really close to where I live in the city, in the middle of the city, to where there's a healthy deer population. I would just need a bow, but it's in the middle of the city and people hear gunshots all the time, just not that loud, but so now it would be a little bit of a trek to get it back. But so the hunting thing, back to that joke, it's a joke that's probably going to take me, if I really dedicate myself and I don't have anything else on the table, I could complete that joke if I had the time to work it out like I want, like if I had 15 minutes every night. Mm-hmm. That joke, it might be always changing, mm-hmm. but it would be pretty pristine after night three.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you could, yeah, do it.
Well, I've seen you do that probably about 6 or 7 times, mm-hmm. that joke. A different.
Is it the mushroom in good shooting ones or is it the actual hunting one?
It's the one with, I think it was the mushrooms one, actually.
Okay, so then yeah. that one, yeah, so that's built in. So that one, that's a go-to story because I know it's like, oh, people get a kick out of this. Yeah. And it's just the LSD one I used to do quite a bit, but I'm kind of moving away from it. I mean, there's a whole, you know who Ali Siddiq is?
Yeah.
The way he does his shows, it's like it's inspiring me to do something like that because I got to tell the shit in chapters. Mm-hmm. Still have my comedy, but storytelling shit. Just... so it can make sense.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is that you remind me of Ali Siddiq. Whenever he's sitting there and he's like very calm, well, like you said, storyteller, but then you do get up and then mm-hmm. you like yeah. get into it and you come back down.
Kind of it's a performance. It truly yeah. is a performance. And then it's
even
like...
sitting. Yeah.
Yeah, and I... sometimes it's like I haven't done it since I've been back, but it's like, you know, you just pull different emotions out and then it can help the joke. It's like you can go for something really sad and then bam, right turn, left turn, oh that's funny, but damn that was sad.
Yeah,
so it's just like, yeah, I want to be funny, but I want people to truly feel something. Yeah. Like truly yeah. feel, because there's a joke that I have, it's a story, but I turn it into a joke, and I don't do it often because a lot of women have been raped, mm-hmm. and it's not a rape joke like where a dude is raping a woman, it's a woman trying to rape a man, and it's a situation I went through, mm-hmm. and I talked about it and people were laughing, mm-hmm. like everybody was laughing. Men and women were laughing. And then afterwards, this girl came up to me and she's like, that was really funny, but I couldn't laugh at it. And I hope you know why. And I'm like, oh, I fucking get it.
Yeah. yeah.
I fucking understand it, but it's a funny story.
Yeah.
No, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. But yeah.
Taking tough things and trying to make them.
Yeah, because it's something that actually happened to me. If it didn't actually happen to me, I wouldn't even walk down that road.
That's what we talk about a lot, too. Oh, it's like, yeah,
I wouldn't walk down that road.
Yeah. so yeah. It's like whenever yeah. people start talking about, like, I don't got an opinion on abortion. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like, I know how I feel and I'll keep that to myself.
Right. Mm-hmm. But it's like, if you don't have a personal experience or whatever like that, I mean, you can't.
And then I do want to tell you about, so the hunting thing, Dave, you can hear me all right, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Oh, okay.
It's just, I've talked about the actual hunting part of it maybe twice on stage, and the way that has to be set up, 5 minutes is just not enough time. Mm-hmm. Altogether, just the hunting aspect of it is maybe 10, no, maybe 15 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Because I have to build the scene.
Yeah.
It's like, you got to explain. It's like, okay, you're waking up at the ass crack of dawn. It's like, you're not eating it. Well, this year I'm not going to eat any meat leading up to it, so I can not smell like a predator as much as possible. You got to use this shit that, like, I can, like, condense all of this. I'm just telling you what it is. It's like, what is it? Use a soap that kills your odor. You wash your clothes in it.
Yeah.
And then essentially, I'm driving out to the country, an hour out into the country with the windows down so I don't smell like me.
Yeah.
And right. So it's yeah. cold as you're driving out into the country. It's like you don't smell like you. Pull up dark, grab your gun, headlamp, and then walk about a half a mile out, either climb a stand or climb into a tree. And then this whole time it's like it's dark. And you got to watch where you step so you don't break your fucking leg. Yeah. So you climb into a tree, you sit there with your rifle, and then you just wait. That's it. You just wait. And it's peaceful as fuck. It's very spiritual. It's the most spiritual thing just to kill something. Yeah. It's wonderful.
Or you're waiting.
You see the birds come in. Like the birds come with the sun. As the sun peaks, all the birds go west.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And then you just wait. And then you hear some gunshots in the distance. And then you kind of get your chance. And then if you ever hear a buck huff at you and start puffing,
oh,
that means you've been spotted and you're fucked. And you might as well go home.
Yeah.
And that's when the joke happens. because I was not happy when this nigga saw me. And then, like, what is it? They named, so the gentleman whose land I hunt on, mm-hmm. his lady named the buck Spike Lee.
Oh, this it has a name.
Yeah, he's an old buck, smart ass motherfucker. Apparently, he's like, he knows people. And she's like, I named it Spike Lee. Well, I'm like, fuck, I can't shoot that because you named him Spike Lee now. It's like, no, fuck, am I going to be like posting, Spike Lee, gotcha, nigga. It's like, no, that's no, I can't do that. But I promised that damn dear Spike Lee that I will kill all of his favorite bitches. And I will eat them.
Yeah.
And I will gut them in front of him.
Hell yeah.
So that's all part of the joke.
Oh, that's good. You take that attitude into the world.
So it's just like, yeah, I'm about to eat Spike's favorite bitches and I'm gonna grill them up. And when I do, oh, I'm gonna have a smile on my face because he's ruined two days for me out there.
Oh, really? He'll go out there and...
Mm-hmm. And, like, I can't see him because at one point when he first did me, I'm like, don't move. Maybe he didn't see me. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, every time I hear him huff and stomp, it's like he's yelling, I can see you, nigga.
Yeah.
And he's, like, moving around from place to place. And at one point, I'm just like, I am going to pop a shot off just because you're pissing me off. Yeah. It's like that annoying, like, little, like...
But he's letting everybody else know that you're
there. Yeah. And then he's letting me know to just fuck off, bro.
Yeah.
Day's over. Go home.
That's attitude right
there. Yeah. And then so it was like after that and they went away, I just started like tracking. Like I'm capable of tracking some shit. I'm not the best, but I'm pretty decent at it. And I figured this out in California, which is wild. Like I'm good with my directions. Mm-hmm. So I was able to track like where a lot of the deer kind of run behind this particular part. And I'm like, I wonder if the dude who owned this land knew this, because I'm like, mm-hmm. I called it the Deer Highway. Mm-hmm. And it's very concealed and like you would not be able to see them. They could mm-hmm. just be right there. And I'm like, yeah, something needs to be built right here. So I could just like, you know. That's fucked up. That's how you we'll know I'm American, mines. Man.
Yeah.
I really did. I was gonna throw grenades in that field too. Because like, fuck you, Spike Lee.
All your bitches.
Yeah. Seriously, deer jerky, every last one of them. Yeah. This your kid? No, I'm just kidding. This your
kid? Which one of these are you?
No, but yeah. Also, my humor's gotten a lot darker lately.
Has it?
Yeah. I probably need to write skits for those mm-hmm. and not say them on stage.
Well, let's go. Dude, I want to talk to you about your new studio.
Yeah,
we kind of went over there, took a look at that.
All right, bet. So, Art House on 4th.
Art House on 4th. And this is Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City.
But there's plans for future stuff, too?
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so right now, the building is 829 Northwest 4th Street. It's going to be 2 showing galleries and a workspace in the back. And at first it was going to be my complete workspace, but another artist, she is like, I already have like a tenant in one of the spots. So I'm like, that's cool. That's cool. This helps me create the art space a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And then, so once this is up and running, I really need to stay in contact with these gentlemen in Berlin because that's the next place I want one. It could change,
nice.
But Berlin is one spot I want one. It just kind of happened. I met this gentleman outside the Common Show. And he's like, yeah, I'm an artist in Berlin. So he just connected me with somebody. And I'm like, okay, we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. But I want 3 countries that I want the art houses in. Mm-hmm. And like, they're going to be chess centered around art and chess. And then of course, artist talks. Mm-hmm. And depending how each one looks, a different type of storytelling show would take place. Comedic storytelling, of course, but it's not just comedic storytelling. Any type of storyteller. I love storytelling.
Yeah.
Nice. I've done storytelling shows. I also taught a storytelling workshop when I was out in Burning Man this last time.
Oh, nice. So, you know Sam Coop?
Who?
Sam Cooper?
I would have to...
She's a storyteller here in OKC. She also does poetry.
No, I don't.
Red Dirt Poetry.
I probably know her and I just don't know it. Mm-hmm. But...
Yeah, but she's pretty well known. She wrote a couple books.
Oh, fuck yeah. That's not easy.
Story slams or storytelling, like kind of mics or whatever. It's like I've been trying to get out to one of them just to go and watch and experience it. But they're always like on a Monday or Sunday nights or weird times. But no, they do like Speakeasy, I think. And like there's one at the bookstore in Paseo, I think.
Literati?
Yeah, they do one there.
Before the big time out, I was going to do, it was called I Seen Some Shit.
Oh, yeah.
Storytelling show. And now it's at Perrette's Coffee Place, but it was going to be there. But it's upsetting because that was going to be the first one I put on. I've been parts of storytelling shows in Los Angeles, Bailey Room, and I had the Comedy Store. That was a great time. That was a really great time.
How much time did they give you to do that?
It's like 7 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And I've had some fun times in the Bailey Room. Let's see. And then other parts of like West Hollywood, they would just have these little storytelling mics and shows where you could help hone your shit. And then you just try to get on at the mouth, which I tried to do. Yeah. I only got to say the first line of my sense of my story, which is like sometimes you almost die before 8 a.m. Yeah. and it was in front of this big ass auditorium. It was like the L something. It's off Sunset. I could find it on a map. And everybody was like, oh, I really wanted to hear your story. I was like, oh, it's just about me masturbating. But no, I'm just kidding. But...
let's get into that. No. No. So the story.
So first, I take some sandpaper.
No, oh my god! Oh my god! That's a stump grinding. Okay. Damn, dude. No wonder you got all that grit.
Full circle.
And we're done. All right. That's... No, dude. But the storytelling is going to be a part of it, along with the chess. And then, you know, obviously
art, fine art, your art, photography. And the plan is to like, well, one term is calling it sister cities or whatever. Just building, just getting this place a little bit more international, bringing artists from there, here, and then artists from here, there, my bad. Just so it's like, it's more exposure. Right, so because here is like Oklahoma, to borrow a term from my friend, the art scene is very incestuous. It's like very insulated and shit. So it's hard for people to break in. So by creating this spot, it's like, all right. So this is a little bit of ego. I've gone to these fine art galleries on west coast of this country in here. And then, each time I get a little bit more angry.
What is it?
But it's just like sometimes it's like the process of getting in, which I understand now, like I have a little more knowledge, I understand, but still with some of the shit, it's kind of ridiculous how they behave, in my opinion, because I'm like, oh, I've come to a few of your openings and nothing is really catching my attention. It's like, what are you really? And it's some art openings were fantastic. I'm like, I get it. I understand why your gallery is the prestige of which it is. It's like, this art is fantastic. But other ones, I'm like, okay, I've not been painting as long as this fellow, but I know something and I know my worth and I know my art would look great here. So like going to some of those galleries and then it's like, oh, just email us, we'll look at your shit. And then I remember going into one, it was off Bergamon Station. I had this painting. It was a 12 by 12 on linen. It looked fucking fantastic. The bright orange with the face I drew. And then it had white writing. Who the fuck are you? And I gave it to them. I said, here's my email.
Nice. That's great. Dude, what do you plan on doing with yours?
I'm sorry. I had to tell that story. But what I plan to do with my gallery. But no, I say all that to say is like, I'm creating a space so people don't necessarily have to deal with that shit.
Yeah.
But at certain points, there's going to be open booking to where people are able to just like reach out to me and propose a show. But I'm not just going to let anybody do it. It has to, you have to have a fucking idea and a cohesive body of work. I'm still a professional. This is still a professional showing. You. It has to be cohesive. And if depending which gallery you're showing, and I'm like, oh, I feel your work would be better in this one versus this one. If you're going to be back here, you're going to be showing another space with another artist. It's just like a lot of curating. But for the most part, and then there's going to be exhibits that run for like maybe 3 months, 2-3 months. And then in between that, there that will allow more local artists to be like, okay, come apply for this show. Come do this show. I already have one artist. She wants to do spring. So, yeah, it's just opening up the space to artists who have never had a chance. That just essentially is the same black and brown folks. Yeah, but it's more than just that. It's like there's an artist down in Norman, Jim Weaver, old white man, conservationist. Okay. And like, just from talking to him, because I met him at when I worked at the art store and then where I work at now,
And I'm like, dude, you need to have a talk on what you've learned about conservation. Yeah, not everybody's into it, but if you, once a venue is found for you, people would come to hear what you have to say. Those people who are interested, they look at the networks in which it would be broadcasted on. You got to think like, okay, so conservation, NPR, what is that? 91.7, that you just go into there, submit it, and then they broadcast it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And you think about doing those talks in your space?
Fuck yeah, because everybody needs education about something. It's like, I used to love going to artist talks and lectures. Mm-hmm. It's like, more education is never a bad thing. More knowledge is never a bad thing. And then, like, when you're in these rooms, you're in rooms with people you're not, especially depending on the lecture. Mm-hmm. You could be in a room next to somebody who could fund your next idea. Yeah. There's always that. Right. It's like, you never know when you're talking to an investor or just somebody who wants to support you in any way. And then vice versa is like somebody next to you could have an idea that could just help you out so much. And like, okay, I want to help you. Mm-hmm. So it's just like having events to where people can get in rooms rather than what they would usually go to. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, rub elbows with naked people in a hot spring.
Yeah, you just go by and go, hey man, be careful when you leave.
Yeah. But no, definitely artist talks are a must. Performances, I think I know it would make a great spot for yoga, but I don't know if I want yoga there.
How big is the room?
Dude, I don't have the square footage, but it's a decent size.
Mm-hmm. So it's like big enough for a yoga class. That's pretty big. That's why it made me think of that. I was thinking in a small, usually, you know. Maybe.
No, it's a storefront. I don't have my other book on me, but it's there's space.
Yeah, nice. That's
awesome.
How's the chess fit in there?
So chess fits in by regional chess meets. It's like I'm going to start, well, once time loosens up. But that might not ever happen. But I met a lady, or I've been introduced to a lady. She goes to different schools and she does chess tournaments and whatnot.
Nice.
And I would like to collaborate with her, work with her, and I go to different schools in a different part of town where she might not. I don't know. I need to meet her, but I just different parts of town to introduce the game of chess. Because I was introduced at the age of 7. Mm-hmm. And it was cool. It was like, I remember that Mr. Montemeyer started chess club. I'm like, fuck yeah. So it just kind of changes. And I still play to this day. I keep a chessboard in my car. So, I mean, if it helps somebody, if it changes somebody, I'm like, okay, bet.
What has chess brought you? What has it taught you?
Brings different strategies. It's like sometimes it's like, you can learn how to play the game or you can play the game creative. And there's these moves that people use that they know work just because they want to win. And then I like to make the board as messy as fuck and then figure out a problem. Because like some people don't play like that. And then whenever somebody's like, that's an interesting move, and they think I'm fucking up. But really, I'm like, nah, man. No, it's not a fuck up. You just don't see what I'm doing. And it's like I always have a distinct plan when I play chess. It's make a mess and win.
It's kind of like, it kind of makes you think. I've never, I mean, obviously I know how to play chess, but I never like really learned how to play chess, you know, like how people have strategies and stuff. But I think it does, it's like makes you think in that way where it's like you're learn how to plan anything, I mean, in your life even.
And you got to see moves ahead. And then also, and then you got to be able to see their moves ahead. And like the possibilities of their moves ahead. So I like to play aggressive. And like, here's, have you heard people say the best type of driver is a defensive driver? Have you heard that statement? I would say no, that's a dumb fucking statement. It's like the best type of driver is a capable driver. It's like, oh, now's the time to floor it. Now's the time. It's like, no. It's like, no. Right? Defensive driver, no.
Do what's necessary.
It's
like, so you can tell somebody's personality through how they play chess.
Sometimes. Like the inner, like, you can.
That's cool.
It's like kind of like a fighter says you can tell how somebody by how they fight, or like even just simple sparring. Same thing with basketball, but some certain sports you can tell unless somebody is like, at a point in time I was just like, oh no, I'm just out here to have fun playing basketball. Mm-hmm. But if somebody says the right thing, then I'm like, oh, I'll show you who the fuck I am.
Yeah. Yeah, I think maybe when it comes to the actual competition of it, if you're actually trying to compete, then you are going to reveal a lot about yourself.
But even like in subtle ways, people still do just by like, just like, just so you know, I can do this. Yeah. I'm just not doing this. Just like the subtle. So it's like, you kind of get a, because I remember one time I was hooping and this dude, He made it look like he was going for a steal, but I'm like, oh, that felt awful a lot like a jab. Because my head went like this, and I just looked at him, and I'm like, oh, he's fast. Quick hands. And I was like, okay, so I know he's quick. But I took it like, okay, it was just like a foul. It's like, if you sucker punch somebody like that. I'm like, okay, so now we see where we're at, and you see where I'm at.
Now you got to change your play. Yeah.
Yeah, and then from that, it's just like, we just played basketball.
Yeah.
So it's just like, I can, certain things. So I just mostly, I just keep it true.
Yeah.
But you can, certain things to allow me to see people. That's why I do comedy the way I do.
Is there a correlation with that?
What you mean?
With making it messy and then winning?
Sometimes.
Doing comedy, making it messy, and then going up there and
cleaning it up.
Yeah.
And sometimes, or like digging the hole and then like, oh no, I got to climb out
of this. I've seen you do that.
Yeah,
I've seen you do it. Whenever you did Nosh, you remember doing Nosh? Yeah, you didn't even dig a hole. You just like got underneath their skin a little bit, and then you were like, "Oh no, wait, let me tell you about these guns I'm into."
Yeah,
and then all the Republicans were like, "Yeah,
fuck yeah,
get back on your side."
Yeah,
yeah. Just, I've always done that. It's like, I don't know what it is. It's like digging the hole makes it fun.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's what I was doing this last time at Bricktown. Whenever I considered it a bomb. So I dug the hole quick by talking, because I got high before and I don't smoke before I get on stage. It's just something I do not do, but I just did.
Yeah.
And right before I got on, when they called my name and I was walking up, I started laughing because I said, oh, I'm going to bomb.
Because you knew already.
Yeah, I fucking knew it.
Before you even got
there,
like, damn it, dude.
So I got up there and I was like, okay, so I smoked, and then blah blah blah, and then I just started talking about, I just kept talking about vagina, and then like, but I would go off on a tangent, and I'm like, you want to know what put me in this situation? Vagina. And then I'd go off on another tangent, I'm like, oh, vagina put me in, like, each time I would bring it back to vagina, people would start laughing a little harder, a little, and then I was like, and I remember I asked this lady this question, I was like, I said, it was from like, I hope we all go out tonight and have unprotected sex. And then this lady to the side, I remember she made this face. I'm like, wait, what do you have to say? And then I saw the light, and that was 3 minutes. So I had another minute, but I'm like, oh shit, that's my time. Cause I was too into like talking about what I was and zoned in on her. And then, so I went off, and she's like, the only two times I ever had unprotected sex, I had kids. And I'm like, if you would have said that when I was on stage, I would have had so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, but yeah, so I remember that bomb, and I was like, because it was slowly building up, and I was like, it just pisses me off, because I'm like, I left so much on the table.
Yeah, it's like, meat on the bone. What you could have
done in hindsight. Yeah, and it was upsetting.
It's my favorite part, though, when you go back and you're like, oh, I could have done this, and you like, write it down.
Yeah.
On a good set.
Yeah.
A fucking good set, I'm like, oh, I didn't even talk about that.
Yeah. Well, and it's all connection, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, a good set is connection. I did one, you know, Tuesdays are kind of tough at Bricktown, just because, you know, Wednesdays are the days that are like, pretty nice. It's early in the week, but I went up and it was like a tough night, and I was like, and I kind of felt that, where you're like, oh shit, I think I might bomb. and then I was like, I whispered it to myself, but I accidentally said it over the microphone. I was like, just have fun.
You're trying to say it in your head, but...
What do people do? Did they laugh?
Don't fall apart.
Oh, yeah, they did.
And,
no,
and, but it set it up a little bit. You know, they were like, oh, okay, what is this?
Funny.
I must have looked new.
No, that is funny.
But then I went up there and I was like, this is like going to the guillotine. I've watched every person come up here, and I was like, fuck, I'm next. Like, you know?
One of those character building nights got like, you.
Everybody's having a heart. You get it. Yeah. All right, well, it's my turn. Yeah, you know, let me get up here. Oh, fuck, just have fun.
Yeah.
I did. It ended up working out.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, it ended up working out. I ended up playing with the crowd.
Having fun changes a lot of dynamics.
Mm-hmm. Because what is success at that point? Success is just, all right, it doesn't even matter about you guys. You guys aren't laughing anyways. I think what I said was, I was like, round of applause, how many people here are not comics? Mm-hmm. And in, by the sound of it, I've gotten pretty good at counting based on how it, so I was like, that's about 9 or 10 of you. So we know you can make sound.
And, all right, echolocation like, over
all right,
here.
All right, fat boy. So then I got him to laugh a little bit after that, but
yeah.
But you know how it is. Those nights are just, oh, that's just, we're eating dicks tonight.
Yeah, character building nights. Yeah, yeah. It's like,
there's nothing you can do.
Well, I wanted to stare blankly out into the window later.
Yeah.
That was not nice.
I was feeling too good about myself. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, I dig the storytelling. I like the chat. I'm super glad that you're like letting me help you with your little studio. And it looks good, man. I think you're in a really good place for it, too.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. It's like
downtown, pretty much. Or
yeah.
Right now. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. And they're building that apartment complex across the street, which I do not want. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be great because people can see art all the time or whatever, but I'd rather have a green space, a park.
Mm-hmm.
And like, since saying this idea out loud multiple times, I've been seeing like how I would build art sculptures in it. Mm-hmm. I saw one across the street from somebody's house last night, art director's house. It was like, I'm like, that is beautiful. That would look good over there, mm-hmm. but maybe like 20 feet tall. It'd be like a metal tree mixed in with all these other like natural trees with these lights on it. That would just, and then with a bench, and then just more sculptures, because it's like the city needs more shit, just to spur creativity and green spaces to where people can feel relaxed.
Yeah, but, it just reminds me of that park, the Citizens Child Park, that big ass hill there. There's like at the bottom of the hill, there's this weird monster sculpture thing that's made out of like all this random
talking out on the south side of I've never paid attention to the sculpture. I just go to that hill late night and I'm just like,
it's like a weird
kind of roll giant joint.
It's peaceful.
It's probably still there. I don't know. It's been like a year ago since I went there, but it's this pretty big sculpture just made out of like recycled things or whatever. But it reminded me of that because that kind of stuff is cool. I mean, you don't see enough of that, I think. And it's inspiring. Also, for not only the art aspect, but I think just a recycling thing. It's like, oh, you can reuse junk and turn it into art, you know, whatever.
Seriously, I got a spear that's made essentially that way from another artist here in town. His name is Nate Terrell. He's a friend.
Yeah.
He makes cool shit out of
trash junk or whatever.
My dad has a piece of his. Yeah. I got a piece. I'm like, I got a couple of his pieces, and I'm like, dude, I'll trade you a painting for this. Yeah. He's like, your painting's so valuable. Yeah. Like, no, dude, do you see this shit? That's dope. It's but thing. It's I like, mean,
yeah,
it's fucking, and it's useful too, because like he's made like, it's like a machete kind of. He just did it and it's like campfire hammered the shit down. Mm. And it's very lightweight, but it's sturdy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, what the fuck?
Okay.
And I'm like, and whenever people come over and they see it at my place, they're like, I really like that. I'm like, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. I use it to cut open melons sometimes.
Every chance you get.
So, I mean, you've got a lot on your plate, man. What are your next moves? What's happening?
So, I mean, I have a few art shows coming up that I also need to prepare for, which is not as easy as it sounds. I got to go through a shit ton of photos. I have to paint quite a few paintings. Yes, because I too need that cohesive body of work, and it should have been done. So this is anywhere from like 25 to 30 paintings, ranging in size from, they could be 16 by 20 up to 60, so 5 feet by 5 feet. They should have already been done, because there's opportunities in about March of 2025. And fast. It's like as another artist said, it's already here. And I'm like, oh shit, my success is already here and I just don't see it yet. I got that coming up, hence that art space is going to be nice, so I can just have a bigger setup to paint,
right? Dedicated space. You don't have to like move shit around to paint.
When I go home, I can just like essentially I just eat and pass the fuck out.
You don't have to
and
worry.
I'm slowly getting all the art shit out of there. So I was like, I don't like fuck, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. I was like, nope, you're here, sleep. But what another thing is, so, and then I got a photo art show to prepare for. I got, there's just a lot on this end. And then, of course, with the art house, I have to sandblast the walls, floor, electricity, get the whatchamacallit, the track light rack. Lighting. And then I saw some lights today that I think I need to invest, like, go see where they got them from. I took a picture. Mm. There's just quite a bit to straight up say this is the next move. Mm. But I know I have to submit a grant by Tuesday. And then I have to submit another grant by, I think they said the deadline is November 15th. So I told myself my deadline is November 10th. Mm. Because I don't like to fuck around anymore. Yeah. I've done that too much. Like this Tuesday when I fucked around.
Yeah. You got a crunch to get it done.
So then after that, my creativity clears up. Then I just start, geez, man. I'm naming everything off. Logos getting made. The sign needs to get made. It's like I'm thinking about all the steps to do. So whenever I get there, it's like, okay, now it's time for this.
Yeah.
But personally, beyond that, like after the art house is up and running and I'm able to, I think I'm getting the fuck out the country.
Oh, really?
Just for like a week.
Yeah.
Or maybe go somewhere in this country that I haven't been yet. Mm-hmm. Like not a big city, nothing, just something chill.
Something mm-hmm. new, like you said earlier, mm-hmm. new experiences. Yeah. Something that's always, I think that's why people love to travel. I mean, I don't know, you know.
To education.
Yeah, it's just something about being, you know, putting yourself in a new place, new everything. It's just something, does something to the brain that, you know, we get stuck in our lives and just.
Okay, so I don't know. Like, this is a question. It's, have you guys ever done psychedelics? Mm-hmm. Okay, so they liken travel to that. So right. It's like I've done a fair share of mm-hmm. shit. So it's like whenever I travel, I'm like, yeah, I needed this.
Right. Oh, nice. Yeah, and it helps your art.
There's no difference.
You.
I mean, it does. It's a new experience, no mm-hmm. matter what. Whether it's
the air, the whatever taste, it is, mm-hmm. the water of the place that mm-hmm. I'm at. Like depending where I'm at, I will drink the water straight from the tap.
Yeah.
Like if I'm in Indiana or Idaho, mm-hmm. fuck yeah.
That's interesting. Thing to think about, because that is something they say you shouldn't, because if you're not used to it, you can get sick in certain places, right?
No, Mexico. I think I got it.
But it's an interesting thing to think about. It's like if you do drink a water in a different place, it's like you're taking in something from that environment mm-hmm. that you don't normally.
Awesome. Dang, I never thought of it like that. That's interesting. Yeah. Along with the chlorine and fluoride.
Yeah.
Oh, well, shit. Yeah. If you're in a certain part of Idaho, you will not get that.
Yeah.
Mm, really?
It's like, because this river, it splits off into like, I think she called it like the rickshaw or some shit. Because we just stopped in this small ass diner on the back highways. Mm-hmm. So if you travel with me, I never take main interstates. Mm-hmm. I just don't. That's how you fall asleep and kill people, in my opinion.
Yeah. Getting lost.
Yeah. It's like, it's just boring and monotonous. Mm-hmm. So, and then everybody's driving so fast, you can't. But back highways, state highways, is what I usually take because you see everything. Mm-hmm. So. That's how I travel. And wait, where was I going? What got me on this?
You said you wanted to get out of the country.
Getting out of the country. Yeah, there was something that got me on this because there was something I wanted to see. Oh, water. Rickshaw. Mm-hmm. Okay, so driving through Idaho, rickshaw. We stopped in this diner and I just looked at the river running out front because it was a big ass river. And then I said, two old ladies, I'm like, ma'am, how is the water here? And she's like, we got the best water this side of the rickshaw. And she, she grabbed a glass, poured it, no ice. Mm-hmm. And she's like, drink that. Mm-hmm. And I drank it. I'm like, oh, fuck. Yeah, no, I'm big on water. I go to Sulfur usually to get my water. So it has a sulfur taste, but I get my shit from natural springs. Mm-hmm. I cook with it and I drink it and then I give it to my plants. I ran out. So that's probably why I'm having issues right now, because I feel constantly dehydrated now.
Oh, really? You can tell the difference.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah. Because it's like, even like, let's say if I were to drink a cup of that water, natural spring water that I got from the actual ground, I feel full. Like, I feel like I ate a meal.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn. What are we missing, dude?
Yeah.
God.
And like, I just feel better.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I need some water and I don't have to drink too much because I'm getting everything. And then that frees me up. Okay, now I can drink more tea because tea's like, you know what I mean? It's just.
Well, that's like fruits and vegetables now. There's not as much nourishment in them. I mean, mm-hmm. are we getting watered down tomatoes?
100%. Like, have you ever had an orange from an orange tree?
Yeah, no, it's legit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's flavorful.
Oh my goodness, yeah. Changed my game. I mean, changed the game. And yeah. I was like, what the fuck?
My dad grew tomatoes and he's been, you know, bringing barrels of them over basically. But they're completely different. Yeah, they're completely different, man.
Dude.
It's like, what's happening? You know, are we not getting enough? And then I'll go eat a cheeseburger.
They're trying to push that bullshit that, what is it? Gardening yourself is making a bigger carbon footprint. Sure.
Yeah, man.
Sure it is, but at least we're not on a system that's fucking us.
Yeah exactly.
I mean, in one way, still paying for the water that has to water it, but still in electricity. There's a way around all that, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, man, I got to go help Liz do her little art thing.
Art House on 4th.
Art House on 4th. Let people know everything about you and where you're at.
Okay, so yeah. ChandlerWatson.com. That's one way to find me. My Instagram is Chandler.M.Watson, kind of like Hunter S. Thompson, because, you know, I used to want to do investigative journalism, and still might happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, but and be a PI. I'll bet.
Get a camera.
Yeah.
Seriously, you're already doing the investigating.
I like that. Yeah. I want to be a documentarian. I want to make a documentary.
Dude, let's fucking talk. It's just because there's a lot of ideas and a lot of shit to get done, but also, I'll be on October 25th. I'll be at Put a Cork in It.
Oh, yeah.
At 6:30. Wait, what time is the show?
6:30. Yeah. Comedy on the spot.
Comedy on the spot.
You bring the topics, we make the comedy.
That's right. I don't know. Camera. That. There we have it. Yeah, and then beyond that, it's like there's another art show I have coming up. I can't think of it. It's okay. It'll just Instagram.
Hell yeah.
And there's something major coming. I don't know why I'm drawing a blank. It's probably because I'm keeping my mouth shut until it actually happens.
Yeah, okay.
But I feel there's something else I wanted to promote. Mm-hmm. I don't fucking know. Just, make sure you live your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, life is short. Tell the people you love them, like, how you fucking feel. It's, like, not a, like, no romantic shit. Just let people know how you feel, because ain't shit promised.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nothing is promised.
Even the hate. Make sure they know you hate them.
No, for real. If somebody did you wrong, it's like, here is why I do not fuck with you.
Don't let them slide.
Yeah. Don't let them slide. Yeah. And if you got to, man, I know some places to hide a body.
Back out in the desert, baby.
Uh-huh.
Guys, and I want you to remember that if a guy that looks like Jerry Garcia, who's naked, gets up out of a hot tub and he tells you, hey, man, be careful, ask him why.
Yeah.
Always get the information.
Yeah. All right, guys. We really appreciate you.
Wait. Before you end it, I got this thing. I wanted to give you all these shits.
Oh, nice.
All right. So one is a sticker of how I be feeling. That's probably going to become a shirt.
I don't know if y'all can see that.
And then this is a painting of just how I feel.
Oh, nice,
so there y'all go.
Oh, I appreciate that, man. This is awesome. I don't have any of your art, so I really
you do now.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to get it.
Thanks for taking time out of your day for this.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming.
Thanks.
We appreciate it. We always love talking to you, and I'm excited for everyone to check this out. So,
hold on. Do we got to do the thing for the gram now? No, I'm kidding, dude. But I'm not kidding because this is happening.
Yeah, there we go.
With the JJ sweater?
No, we never do.
What up, JJ?
Alright, well, all right. Thanks, y'all. Thanks for watching. Guys.